just a second, we're going to play a little, not really, it's like 10 minutes or so, highlight video of some things that happened at camp. So that way, when the teens give your testimonies, you can maybe have a visual idea of what it is that they're speaking about. So once the video gets done, they have a little list. They know what order they're going to go in. But they're going to tell you something that they enjoyed about camp, or more than one thing they enjoyed about camp. And then they're going to also tell you something that they learned while they're at camp. So to give you a point of reference, this week the teens went to 13 sessions. To give you an idea how long that was, on Friday night, just the speaker went an hour and 20 minutes. That wasn't the pre-service part of that included. So total, the whole service was about 2 hours and 15 minutes. So they got a lot of Bible teaching in, and that didn't include their devotion time and their counselor follow-up. So they ended up with a lot of time in the Word of God. There's a plenty of fun things they got in the week as well, which they'll show you here in just a minute. But one of the reasons that we go to camp is for that concentrated dose of the Word of God. It's just something that you can't really experience kind of outside of camp. Most of us don't have the schedules and time to be able to go through. And even as I was talking to the speaker for the junior camp, his name is Nathan Messler, he was teaching morning chapel to the juniors. He was teaching afternoon PLB sessions sometimes sessions to the LITers, and he was preaching at night. So sometimes he was preaching four times a day, right? And so it's just exhausting when you kind of go through all of that mental thing, but it's so helpful in your spiritual walk to get that just concentrated truth of the Word of God, where it just kind of breaks down your heart, breaks down your pride, and sometimes resistance to the things that you know you're supposed to be doing, and it kind of just encourages you to be faithful to those things. So looking forward to what the Lord's going to do in the lives of our teens as we go forward, but right now, John's going to click the video, so we'll watch a video, and then after that, we will have some testimonies, and Nick gets to go first. So, go ahead, John.
Thank you. Mike Herbster here, and I am so thankful that you were here at Southland Christian Camp this week. I hope that God has transformed your life. Many decisions have been made. You've had a blast here in this great Christian environment, and we are so thankful that you came and spent a week with us here. We trust that our theme, faith over fear, will resound in your heart as you move forward in your Christian life. You would recognize that God wants you to have a faith that's unfeigned, genuine, sincere, unhypocritical faith will always conquer your fear. Trust God, move forward in that faith. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's been an awesome week. God's done some great things. You've seen that loving God is the best thing that you can do with your life. Go after that. Have a passion and a pursuit for God and His Word. Meet the purpose with which God created you, to glorify Him and to use your life to invest in the lives of other people. It'll be amazing to see what God can do with your life. You see, you're the future, and there's great potential in your life. And I hope you understand how much we care for you and love you. And if there's anything that we can do to assist you in your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to let us know. You can contact us through the website, southlandcamp.org, or give a call to the office. Come to any of our future camps as well. We have a team, a leadership camp called Light Camp during the summer. It's a 2-week teen leadership camp, as well as a shorter leadership camp in the fall. And we also have a teen winter retreat. And if you're a parent or an adult that's watching this video, of course, come and visit Southland and come to a ladies' retreat or men's retreat or a couples' retreat. But most importantly, we're here on this earth as Christ followers. And as we've learned this week, we ought to strive to follow our God, no matter where it takes us. And so we want to encourage you to continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Thanks for coming to camp. Hope to see you again next summer.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Glad I'm not alone here. Okay.
Can you hear me?
How far does it? Okay. So this week, I've learned mainly two things. One is probably kind of pride. Just like he taught on pride. I think it was it Wednesday or Thursday? I think it was Wednesday. Then he taught on anger on Friday, I think. And I just realized, like, how stupid of things I always got angry over. It just basically made no sense. So I went and got some verses, some references from the head director. You guys saw him on the end of the video. But two things I really liked was I really loved Gauntlet Ball. It was great. I just hammered a few people. They got knocked over. I destroyed one of the flags when I ran it over. I loved the mud games, tube tug. I tackled a few people. They didn't like that, but I thought it was funny. And I really liked my counselor. Like, the 4 years I've been going, this is the fourth year, I never really actually took advantage of having a counselor. I always thought he was just like a college-level babysitter, I guess. But this year, I actually went and used him, asked him some questions. So that's basically what my week's been like.
Hello, I'm Caleb. That's funny, though. All right, well, on Tuesday, Pastor Ron was teaching on Jonah, and
One of the main points was planting your delight in the Lord and not in this worldly life. And the verse he used for it was Psalms 37:4, which is, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And it really made me feel like I need to get my priorities straight, that I'm putting sports, schooling, and all these other things above God. And my devotions and prayer life has become kind of like just a checklist. I'm just trying to get it done, and then I can do whatever, go do what I want to do, and I'm done with that. And it really encouraged me that I need to make that a priority in my life and put God first. And I think my favorite thing was either the gauntlet ball or probably mud games. I like mud games this year. So.
Okay, so I don't know how many of you like were there and remember my testimony from last year, but it was about being afraid of the future and learning not to be afraid. And honestly, you know, there's a whole year in between camp, and it can be really easy for life to kind of take over and kind of shove what you learned into the back of your head to where that fear had started to set in again. Like, some of y'all, probably all y'all know that I'm a just recently graduated high school. So going into college, going to be separated from my family, and just a lot of the changes that come with sort of, I'm only 17, but I'm already starting to sort of transition into adulthood. And like you saw, the theme this year was faith over fear. And the verse was 2 Timothy 1:7, which is, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but the power and of love and a sound mind. And I really needed that. And just, there were so many little reminders that I needed to hear that I got to hear. So I really appreciated that. And I think probably my favorite thing was getting to shoot people with arrows. That was a lot of fun. And swimming. And I'm weird, but I love just staring at the lake. It's a really pretty lake. So anyways, that's my testimony.
Okay, my name is Tyus. I'm assuming most of you know me. But God laid on my heart this week that there would be so many more miracles today if we let God use his power through us by obeying and doing his will. In Jonah 3, God saved thousands of people through Jonah, who was doing God's will for his life. And I was just challenged to worry more about doing God's will for my life. And my favorite thing also is archery attack, where you gotta shoot people with arrows.
Hello. I have two things. I feel like I've struggled with idols in my life a lot. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing I turn to is either my phone. I never think of, you know, to read the Bible in the morning. So I feel like camp has really helped me avoid those distractions and focus on the Word. And I've always worried about the future ahead of me, but I need to learn that God has a plan for everyone. And not to worry and have faith over fear. And something I really enjoyed was the volleyball tournament. I thought that was really fun. And their coffee shop. So that was my testimony.
Hi, so I think you all know me. My name's Tessa. And I think a few of the things I learned this week was, you know, to hide his word more in your heart. I think that's a, you know, really big thing that, like, I think teenagers struggle with, not, you know, wanting to memorize verses. But, you know, that's one of those things, like, it really does help you as you move along in life. And, you know, it's kind of weird, too, but, like, when you get closer to God, like, I don't know, you're more at peace in your life, and you don't worry. You know, I think, like they said, you know, about worrying life and stuff. But I think a big thing, too, is, like, you're just happier, you know, when you're closer to God. And I think another thing I learned, too, is that, you know, I want to go into nursing. And, you know, me and my counselor, she's also in nursing school right now, actually, which is awesome. So she was telling me, you know, there's, like, things, you know, you don't have to go out of the country exactly to serve God in nursing, too. You know, you could either do it, like, at a hospital, but also, like, at a camp like that, because there's a nurse on staff there. So, like, you could do something like that. And I think my favorite thing was probably the sermons, so.
Hello, my name's Christian. See you up there. And I think what I learned today, this week, was on, I believe it was on Friday, that Pastor Ron talked about anger. And if you keep all of that anger and bitterness in if someone wrongs you, that will just spill out and cause more pain and anger another day. And I think my favorite thing was probably the mud games and gauntlet ball.
Hi, I'm Owen, and what I learned this, what I was really reminded of was that I should follow God and do His will more than I have been in the past. And my favorite thing was probably teaching our counselor a card game called Euchre.
Hello, my name is Abe. My favorite thing was gauntlet ball and the pool. I learned that Proverbs 9, 1 through 18, there's two girls named Wisdom and Folly. And if you go to Wisdom's house, you'll enjoy spiritual blessings. And I've learned that I need to go there and not to Folly's house, which will make me end up in hell.
I really don't want to cry, and I told him, Mike's like, you always do. And it's true. My heart is so full. I just love to hear how God's working in these teens, and it just is wonderful to me. And so I can't help but cry and give praise to God because He is so good, and He's still alive, and He's still working. And I was going to start with my favorite things. Having broke the bone in my back, I wasn't able to do all the activities. Normally, I'm in there with the teens doing all the things, but I was kind of limited this time. I got to go in the pool two different days with some of our girls and then taking pictures. That was probably the extent of my activities. But just being there, I was so thankful that I got to go this year and to be a part of it. So what I wanted to tell you about was Monday night, the first message that we heard, which has already been referenced some, was from Jonah 3, and how even though Jonah was really going away from the Lord and wasn't really following Him, God was able to use him. And then he continued to talk about the reasons that God was able to use him. But I wanted to first start by reading just a couple verses in Psalms. Psalms 147, it says, let's see which verse I want to read. Praise to the Lord, for He is good, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and our praise is beautiful. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those that fear Him, in those who hope in His mercy. And it was a reminder this week that God's not dead. I feel like here in America, it's often so hard to get discouraged as we look around and see how the world is going and the choices they're making and the way that they're not following after God. But God is alive, and He still is powerful, and He wants to work. But He needs people that are willing to be obedient to His word so that He can work through them. And the points of the message were that God is able to display His power when we pursue His will. We have to be going after Him. We have to be desiring to obey what He has for us. Well, the way that we obey that is by being in God's word. And I think that's where a lot of us fail, is that we just come on Sunday mornings, we hear a little bit, but we need to be pursuing God and learning about Him and seeing what His will is. James 1:25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And if we want to be blessed in our life, if we want to have purpose, which most of us, I feel like that's our desire, to make an impact in the world, to have purpose, then we need to go to God's word and listen to what he has for us and then obey it. And then he can display his power through us. Also, he can do it through one person. Even though it's hard, God is willing to just use one person. And if we will be obedient and we'll be surrendered to what he says, he can use us. Also through preaching and also through his word, this is how God has desired to impact the world as we give out the gospel. And this is an area that I definitely need to do better in. And then also when we repent, when we are broken about our sin and we're in a place of humility instead of pride, where God can use us. And so these were some points that the Lord taught me. Just even on that first night, I was already like, all right, this is going to be a great week. God's really already starting to speak to me. And then he continued. We talked about Daniel every morning in the morning chapels. We visited Jonah again later on. But just to guard our hearts, because it's so easy, even just from one year to the next in between camp, we fall back into some routines, we fall back into some sins, and so it's a good reminder that we need to get things right between us and God, and we need to be in his word more. But guard our hearts, because Satan is real, sin is deceitful. Anger, bitterness, pride, those are things that I think we all struggle with, and we need to be careful and guard our hearts from these things. And so thank you again for sending us. Thank you for praying for me. My back was pretty good all week. I was able to increase my activity, and again, just so thankful that we all could go. So thank you for your prayers.
Turn with me to Proverbs 9. I'm going to reference the same message that Abe did in his testimony. I'm going to combine some other thoughts into the message this morning. The teens, every afternoon or so, they get a session called Principles to Live By, and that will be the title of the message this morning to give you something to go for them. But in Proverbs 9, Abe identified the two characters that show up in the story, and I want to look at them, and I want to kind of highlight the distinctions between the two, and then I want to talk about how that applies to us, and we'll use an example here in just a minute. And so when we think about principles of why, we end up in Proverbs 9 with two options. Jump with me to verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through 6, and we'll jump to the end, and we'll read verses 13 to 18. So Proverbs 9, 1 says, "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has set out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, 'Come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine I have mixed, forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding.'" Jump with me down to verse 13. "A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple, knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house and on a seat by the highest places of the city to call those who go by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, 'Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell.'" The two characters we run to, first we run into wisdom. In the story of Proverbs 9, they're given to us in character form. So wisdom is referred to as a lady, and folly is the character we visit in verses 13 through 18. And what it does in the beginning, it gives us an idea of who wisdom is. And in each of these characters, it gives us really two things about them. It gives us their characteristics first, and then the gifts that they offer. So let's talk about wisdom's characteristics. It says there in verse 1 that she built her house, she has hewn out her seven pillars, she slaughtered her meat, she mixes her wine, she arranges her table. So five things about wisdom. In essence, we could summarize wisdom with the characteristic that wisdom is active and beneficial. Okay, so wisdom is active, beneficial. What does wisdom offer as gifts? Go down with me to verse 5. "Come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine I have mixed, forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding." So the gifts that wisdom offers us are life and understanding. Okay, so first character we see in the story, wisdom offers us an active benefit of life and understanding. The second one is folly, and we see that in verses 13 through 18. And so we'll cover the same two things, characteristics and gifts. The characteristics of the folly or the foolish person or foolish woman in verse 13 is loud. knows nothing, sits by your door. We can describe the foolish person or the folly given to us in verses 13 and 18 as passive and non-beneficial. Have you ever asked for help at Lowe's? Yeah, you have. I hear the chuckle. Right? And the people are like, I just work here. Right? You ask, where in the store is this? Where is this? There are a couple of people that you can ask, and they're like, oh, we know where it's at. But everyone else, they're just looking at you like, yeah, I got no idea. Right? Because you're asking for help, and people that don't necessarily have the ability to help. Some of you bring your technology to me so that I can have a chance to help you fix your technology. The reason you bring it to me is normally I'm able to help you. Now, I wouldn't be very helpful if you brought your technology to me and I'm like, I don't know how to do anything with that. Right? So here in the story, folly is a person who sits at the door and says, come get insight from me, but she has no insight. She has no knowledge. She's passive. What are the gifts that folly bestows on the people who come for wisdom? Verse 17. Here's her insight. Stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. Literally, her advice is, things taste better when you get them illegally. And if you come in here, you'll die and go to hell. Now, I don't really have to go too far into this message for you to go like, these don't seem like very comparable options. Right? You're like, if I go through this list, I don't think there's a person in the room today that's like, oh, I kind of like too. We all look at this list and recognize right off the bat that folly is not a good choice. So the question that really comes to mind is, how do we know which choice we're making? How do you know if you're choosing folly or wisdom? If we are laid out in this chapter and Solomon is trying to get you to realize the benefit of wisdom and the foolishness of folly, then how do you know you've made a simple choice? Well, the question is, who are these two people fighting for? Read verse 4, then let's read verse 16. Verse 4, whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, go with me to verse 16. They'll sound familiar. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him. Okay, so both of these, wisdom and folly, they're seeking after the same person. In the text, it's referred to as a simple man. Simple here is not a negative term. It literally just means the average person. And if you go up in verse 15, it says, to call on those who pass by, who go straight on their way. They're going to work. They're doing the things that they're supposed to do. Right? Okay, so folly and wisdom are both asking people to follow them. They're both calling to you, saying, listen, choose me, choose me, choose me. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We use this as an example of a choice. I do not have time this morning to go through all of chapter 2, but if you start in chapter 2, verse 2, and you go down to verse 10, Solomon lists all of the things that he's accomplished. Let me summarize them for you, and then we're going to jump in together in verse 10. In verses 2 through 9, it says he's gathered houses, vineyards, gardens, orchards, trees, fountains, servants, herds and flocks, silver and gold, provinces, male and female singers. He's got a pretty good list here. The speaker this week said it this way. When Solomon heard a song he liked, he didn't buy the CD or the album. He bought the band. Right? Okay, so Solomon got everything. Go with me to verse 10. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all of my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. You ever seen a kid in the toy section of Walmart and they're saying to their parents, Mom, I want this. And mom's like, no, you can't have that. So the kid takes a step down. Mom, I want this. Right? They literally want everything in the toy aisle. Now imagine that that kid has an unlimited income. So everything he points to, he can buy. That's Solomon. When Solomon was king, he made silver almost invaluable. Meaning, he made silver, there was so much gold that silver became like rocks on the ground. You couldn't buy anything with it. Everyone had silver. Wasn't impressive. So what is the end of his life? Verse 11. Then I looked in all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed, all was vanity. Grasping for the wind, there was no profit under the sun. So after this massive list of accomplishments that Solomon has, he says, guess what? I had a choice between wisdom and folly, and I have opened the wrong door. Everything I have pursued has been worthless. Interestingly enough, go to verse 12. And I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who succeeds the king? Only what he has already done. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. Solomon here is the perfect example of choosing between wisdom and folly. This week, teens and kids have sat under a lot of preaching, a lot of truths in the Word of God. Proud of all the decisions you've made. But tomorrow, you still have to choose between wisdom and folly. Because if you choose folly, you'll be back in the same place you were at the beginning of last week. Adults, you aren't exempt from this choice either. You have to choose wisdom. What is wisdom? How do we know if we're choosing the right answer? Well, what was the name of the TV show when you got to the end and they had three doors? Oh, it'll come to you when it doesn't matter. But they could barter, and at the end they could trade in their prize and they could pick a door. But only one door was really good. Everything else is kind of like you could get a vacuum. Yay, right? And so you wanted to choose the right door, but if you chose the wrong one, you wasted whatever you had, right? So how do I know I'm not choosing the wrong door? Well, we're going to go to one verse in Proverbs, one in Ecclesiastes, and we'll end with a thought. First, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I'll read that one more time. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Okay, so the first thing we find in the middle of chapter 9, where wisdom is at the beginning, folly's at the end, right in the middle, there's a contrast. The main thought of Proverbs 9 is fear God, and that's the beginning. It's the starting point. Ironically, for a lot of Christians, that's the point most of us stay at. Hey, I believe in God. Hey, listen, I go to church on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. I show up to the morning service. I'm doing okay. I'll just be pointed this morning. If you only spend 30 minutes a week listening to God, you're not growing. You're not doing enough. Why is it that teens come back from camp and their heart has been pricked by the conscience of the Word of God? Because they spent more than 30 minutes doing it. Some of you sit in this service this morning and you've never come to Sunday school. You've never come to a midweek service. We have revival services, you don't come through the door. I've got enough of God on Sunday morning. Pastor Mike was awesome this morning. No, he wasn't. He was average, right? But thank you for thinking I was awesome, right? And here's the problem. You're content. I'm good. I've had enough. God will be pleased because I gave God 30 minutes this morning. I know it's an hour, but I only get 30 minutes. And here's the thing. We're so happy about that. We pat ourselves on the back like we did something awesome for God. And we have just got to the beginning of wisdom. On Sunday nights in the fall, we'll run a bus ministry to people in town who just oftentimes want to get rid of their kids. They want a break. So they'll put them on a bus and they'll send them to church. And the kids will learn verses. They will spend time in God's Word, but they'll have huge issues. Do you know why? They spend 30 minutes a week at church under preaching and teaching. And all of us look at those bus kids and we go, man, we pray that those kids turn out right, but it's going to be hard. I mean, they're swimming upstream in a world full of all of these things. And we look at those kids and our heart breaks for them. And I look around and I go, we're breaking our hearts for bus kids. And then we get to adults and we live like we're bus kids. I only need one thing a week. My schedule is too full to spend 2 hours at church on Sunday morning. I got to go home. Can't make it to noon. I know I'm stepping on toes this morning. But I'm doing it intentionally. Because you have at the beginning of knowledge. I sat down in my office 2 weeks ago with a person in town and he's asking me questions and he says to me, how is it that you know so much about God? They gave me a special book when I went to college. It was called the Bible. Right? There's no secret to spiritual growth. It's time. It's investment. I'm going to give you a word. Work. You don't get to retire from spiritual growth. Let's jump to Ecclesiastes because I need to finish this morning. Ecclesiastes 12:13 takes us to the next step. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is man's all. Let me say it this way. What Solomon is saying at the end of Ecclesiastes is, what your job is to do is to keep God's rules. Let me point it this morning. You can't know God's Word if you don't study it. You have zero chance of pleasing God through fearing and obeying Him if you don't know what He expects. One of the most nervous things that happen is when you go to someplace new and you don't know what to expect. Some of our campers this year were brand new, never been to Southland before, right? And so what is it that I expect? Right? What is it going to be like? What are the rules going to be like? What is the atmosphere going to be like? What's the schedule going to be like? What's the food going to be like? Right? All of those pressures when we don't know what to expect because it's all uncertain. God did not tell you to live with that pressure. He wants you to know what He expects. This is why He put together 66 books into a book that you can understand what God wants for you. But honestly, most of us don't ever read it. And when we do read it, we're not digging into it. We're just checking off a box. Barna, the guy I referenced all the time, Paul, says the average Christian spends less than 30 minutes a month reading the Word of God for themselves. I'll boil it down to you. That's a minute a day. Now, I speak fast. I read fast. But I can read all of Psalm 119, 176 verses, out loud in 13 minutes. I've done it before. Okay? 13 minutes. I can read 176 verses. In 1 minute, you are not going to get very far. Oh, I read a verse. Great. Did you get anything out of it? Did you know your God better? Do you understand what His will is for you? Do you understand His commands? One of the reasons that we spend the week driving teens to camp, chasing teens all over the place, trying to take their picture, trying to see what they're learning, is because we want them to get a taste of what it looks like to actually interact with God. If I could, I would pack all of you up and I would take you to camp. Because you need the same experience. In the middle of one of the messages that the juniors were listening to, Aaron Messler was the speaker for the junior camp. Ron DeGard was the speaker for the teen camp. Aaron Messler said this, and I want to end with this quote. The craziest thing you can do is to use a life to do anything other than please God. The craziest thing you can do is anything that doesn't please God. Now let that just sink into your mind for a minute. In a world that does not value God or His Word, do you? Or are you doing something crazy with your life? Like living for yourself? Do you know why that 70% of teenagers won't come back to church after they graduate from high school? Do you want to know why? Because they live with parents. And they've watched those parents come to church and smile and be happy and go home and be jerks to each other. Go home and do everything else but what they're supposed to do, but show up on Sunday morning. The kids figured it out. Oh, so church is something we do for social engagement. Well, you know what? I don't need social engagement anymore, so I'm not going to church. The kids have figured it out because things are more important than church. So when they grow up, guess what? Things are more important than church. Guess where the future of America has learned about God? Their parents. As I watch our world today, it's amazing to me the number of people who will say things like, I'm discouraged about where America's going. I'm frustrated about the things that America looks at or the things that America thinks should be fine. But we're not frustrated about the fact that the average Christian spends less time in church than they do in line at fast food. Just pause for a moment. The average Christian in America today spends more time in line for fast food than they do in church. You know what's wrong with America? As Kerry said, it's not that God lost His power. The church did. Why did the church lose its power? Because its families did. What happened to us that changed how we viewed God? Let's get back to that. Some of us have opened the door of folly. We jumped off the cliff and we didn't even know it. We're just used to it. Because we look around and we go, but I'm better at being a Christian than my neighbor is, or these people are, or those people are. And we're comparing ourselves to a standard that's not Jesus Christ. I say this often. I'm not asking you to come to church because I pastor a church. I don't get any salary bonuses based off of attendance. Actually, the more people that come to church, the more work I have to do. So this isn't a plea because I feel like I need some more work. It's a plea because we're missing out on God. We're missing out on shaping the next generation of Christians. Having this conversation with my wife, looking at our family schedule, I've got two teenagers, Abe's 10, he's going to be a teenager in a couple of years, and asking ourselves the question, what do I want most for my boys? I want them to know God. So even in the first Tuesday in August, we're going to start having teen Bible studies on the first and third Tuesdays of the month at my house. Why? Because I want teens to be able to explain from the Word of God what the Word of God says. Because I'm looking at my family, I'm looking at my kids, and I'm going, what is it that I need to figure out so that my kids have the best chance to be spiritually successful? It's not free time. It's not me playing volleyball or me coaching basketball. It's me talking about God with my kids. As I sat through service after service this week, I was reminded by the fact that sometimes we just don't listen to God anymore. And I'm in the same group you are. And God this week is like, Mike, you just got to listen to me. And not just like, eh, okay. No, like, let's pay attention. Are you choosing folly this morning? You're choosing wisdom. What is it that people would look at your life and they would go, yeah, that's a guy who loves God. I know. Because every time I ask him to do something, he's like, nope, I can't. I'm investing my life for eternity. I'm investing my life in things that matter. Don't miss the door. Fear God and keep His commandments. As I close this morning, I want to issue one challenge, and I do this every year. And that is, as you listen to those teens this morning, and Abe, he's not a teen yet, but he's in that group, give testimonies about what God taught them this week, next week, and the weeks to come. Would you intentionally seek out those teens and tell them, hey, listen, I'm praying for you. I want God to do great things in your life. And if you ever just want someone to pray for you, come see me. Because I would love to pray for you. I would love to pray with you. I would love to encourage you. If there's something that I can do to be a blessing to you as a teenager, please ask. Because I want to invest in you spiritually. There's a whole message on younger men being taught by older men, younger women being taught by older women. This morning, we're not going to go down that passage, but one of the ways that you can be an encouragement to the teens who have stood up in front of you and shared what God's teaching in life is going up to them individually and saying, listen, I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. I want to see you be spiritually successful. We're on your side. We want to cheer for you. And when you fail, when you make mistakes, because you're teens, you're going to, you're adults, you're going to fail too. Well, we're going to come along. We're going to encourage you. Hey, get back up. Don't wait to camp next year to get back on the horse. Get back up right now. Let's get back into the Word of God. Let's get back to doing those things. Find some of those teens. Intentionally encourage them.